Open your Bibles with us tonight to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 12, about verse 18. And be thankful that you were not there. When verse 18 was given. Because it was on Mount Sinai. The ratification of the first covenant and the giving of the law of Moses. Wow, what a time that was. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 18. And so it tells us right away that we haven't come to that mountain, and we're glad that we are not there. There's some places, you know, times in the Bible when you just wish, boy, I wish I was there, don't you? I'm sure as you're reading, this is one of the places that I don't feel that way about this. And we'll see why. Verse number 18. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words which voice they had heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. Well, they could not endure that which was commanded. They could not endure. They could not do what the law of God demanded for them to do. And if so much as a beast, you can see what it's getting to here. It's speaking of the holiness of God. And also teaches us the fact of man, not only man, but man and beast, the defilement of sin. And so we see, and as so much as a beast would touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, that Moses, the man of God, the mediator of the covenant, and also a man who was faithful in all the house of God, it says. He says, I exceedingly fear and quake. So what a day that must have been at that time. But he says in verse 22, boy, aren't you glad for this, little word. But we are come unto Mount Zion. We've come to Mount Zion, to Jerusalem, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. May we bow our heads and hearts in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to once again be in your house this evening. Father, we're glad for each one who could gather here. We know that many would love to be here but are not able to be here. But Father, we just thank you for just being here together tonight to look into the pages of the Word of God and see what you have for us this evening. Father, we just humbly pray now that He, the Holy Spirit, would open our hearts and minds that we may see, that we may understand, that we may believe, and that we may obey the precious Word of God. Father, we just humbly ask now that you'll anoint us with the Spirit of God, that we may proclaim your Word, that it would glorify you. For we do pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, what is the difference between that first covenant and of course, the second covenant, the new covenant? Well, there's lots of differences given in the book of Hebrews, and I can't get into all of those, certainly not tonight. But the main thing we want to emphasize, the difference between that first covenant and second covenant, we don't come to Mount Sinai. We're coming to the heavenly Jerusalem, and we're coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the real difference, folks, the real difference between these two situations, one, of course, which makes a distance Can you see the distance between God and man because of the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man? And then the second, you don't see the distance between God and man. You see the closeness of the two. So what makes all the difference? Well, the difference is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You remember, Peter talked about the precious blood in 1 Peter chapter 1. He speaks about the precious blood of the Lamb given without spot and without blemish. It's precious blood. It's not the blood of man. It's not the blood of beast. It is the blood of Almighty God. And so, when we speak of the blood of Jesus Christ, we should speak with great reverence, I think, and with wonder, because of the value and the importance that God places upon the blood. Oh, in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 5, it says, and this letter comes from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. And then he says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And so we see the importance that God places upon. That's what cleanses us from our sins. And that is why I think that it is seen, the blood is seen from the book of Genesis through Revelation typically and prophetically. Actually, it is the blood, you see, of God's Lamb. And although it was shed over 2,000 years ago now, we see that the blood still speaks. If you'll notice, that it speaks about in verse number 24, that the blood of still is speaking. And it talks about, first of all, he talks about Abel. It says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And so the blood still speaks, and it speaks of better things than Abel. Abel's blood, you'll remember, speaks from the earth. It speaks from the earth and cries out for vengeance and justice. But we see the Christ's blood, it speaks from heaven. That's where the blood is. The blood is in heaven. And so the blood speaks. The blood speaks from heaven and announces what? It announces mercy, redemption, forgiveness, and grace for sinners. It speaks to God as well as to man. It speaks to God and man of justice which is satisfied, justice which has been satisfied fully and forever, the Word of God says. In the book of 1 John, if you'll remember, in 1 John chapter 2, and verse number 2, he talks about the propitiation. And he is the propitiation, or the atoning sacrifice, met every demand, met every standard of God, fulfilled everything completely. And so he is the propitiation of the mercy seat for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So we see the importance of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It meant reconciliation. Man can now be reconciled to God like he never was in the Old Testament. We know that God has even given unto us the message of reconciliation. We are ambassadors, and we are calling out for men to be reconciled unto God, all because of the blood. And so we want to talk about just two or three things that the blood speaks of. First of all, we see the blood speaks of eternal redemption. Now, the old covenant, of course, was sprinkled with blood over in the book of Exodus in chapter 24 and verse number 8 of the Word of God. It says, and Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Now we see that Hebrews chapter 9, verses 18 through 22 gives us more information and tells us emphatically, without any question or doubt, tells us emphatically, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sin. You see, God was never pleased. Neither did he find pleasure, of course, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 3 and 4 tells us why. He says, because it is not possible. In other words, it is impossible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. There was never any final or complete redemption under the old covenant. So that was the reason, you know, that it was so difficult for the individuals. But then came Jesus. And we sung about that tonight, didn't we? What a name. The name of Jesus. And a name that, of course, that God has given him a name which is above every name. That the name of Jesus, that every knee would bow and every tongue would confess. And so then came the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he was the mediator of the new covenant. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 8 of the book of Hebrews, and verse number 6 of this book, we see these words given. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. And it, of course, is the unconditional covenant of God, which, of course, is based upon the better promises. In the book of Romans, in chapter 3, verse 24, we see that Paul writes these words, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. You see the value, you see the importance, you see the blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. There's that word propitiation again. Propitiation, mercy seat, met the demands or the standards of God's holy law, making it possible, you see, for him to righteously have mercy upon you and I. Tremendous difference between these two covenants. Then the book of Hebrews again, in Hebrews chapter number 10, and verses 12 through 14, we see these words. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 12. He says, but this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, the sacrifice of his own precious blood is what we're talking about, forever, he says, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He has perfected forever those who are sanctified, those who are set apart, those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, by obedience, was made perfect or complete. Now, we know that Jesus Christ was always perfect. He was absolutely sinless. But yet, the Word of God says that by obedience he was made perfect or complete, so that he could come, you see, like in flesh, like your flesh and my flesh, except, of course, to live without sin. That you see, that through his obedience to the law of God, to the obedience to the will of God in his life, that he could, of course, become like you and I. And so that he could be perfected as the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so by obedience he was made perfect or complete, made a perfect sacrifice, and became the author or the originator of eternal salvation. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 9. We see these words written. And being made perfect or complete, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So the blood speaks very clearly of eternal redemption. We are saved and saved eternally. It is eternal redemption through Jesus Christ and the precious blood that cleanses us from our sin. Then also the blood speaks of entrance into the holiest. You see, man, back when the law was given, he was so far separated away from God. He could not connect in that sense because of God's holiness and because of man's sinfulness. And so he could not have that communion and fellowship with God that you and I have. He could not enter into the holy of holy places. But the blood speaks, you see, of entrance into the holiest. Christ, after his death and his burial and his resurrection, entered into the holy of holies in heaven. Now, you see, everything under the law and everything in the Old Testament, all these things, the tabernacle, all these things were types. They were not realities. The realities were in heaven. And so we see that he did not go into the tabernacle on earth. We see that he went into the holy of holies in heaven. Now we know about the chief, the high priest back under the law. He went into the holy of holies. He took blood, of course, of the lamb. He took the blood to atone for his own sin, and then of course had to make atonement for the sins of the people as well. But we see that Jesus Christ entered into the holies of holies in heaven to appear in the presence of God for us, for you, and for me. In Hebrews chapter 9, he speaks of that. In chapter 9, in verse 24, and verse number through verse 26, we see these words. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands on earth, not in the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true. They're types, they're figures of the true, of course, holy place, but into heaven itself. Jesus Christ entered into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, his own precious blood. And as it is appointed, see, of course, he says, a man wants to die after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. But we see that he entered into the holy of holies in heaven, the same place that now, because he has entered in with his precious blood, and the blood is on the mercy seat in heaven, in the holy of holies, you and I now can enter into the holies of holies ourselves. And in fact, we are invited, aren't we? We are invited. We are encouraged to come. So under the law and under the old covenant that was given at Mount Sinai, none of those things were true. And so we were away from God. But now we can be near to God and close to God and have communion with him and enter into the holy of holies ourselves. The veil, you remember, of the temple. When Jesus Christ was crucified, the veil of the temple was rent or torn from the top to the bottom. And we see that because of that, now you and I, every person who believes, has access into the very presence of God. Hebrews chapter 4, which we read quite often. Hebrews chapter 4, and we see there, verses 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, Jesus. We have a great high that has passed into the heavens. And that's where he is today. Seated on the right hand of the Father. He is the mediator between God and man. And so we see that he has passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast, he says, our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities or weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore. And this is tremendous, folks. This is a verse of Scripture that's really been helpful to me personally. Because I know I can go. I can go, and I can go boldly. That doesn't mean to go arrogantly. It means to go with confidence. With confidence we can go to Almighty God. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. He invites us to come. He invites us to come to into the Holy of Holies, to be in the presence of Almighty God. And so the blood speaks of eternal redemption. And the blood we see speaks of entrance into the holiest. And also we see that the blood speaks of, I call it entitlement to a place. Maybe a better word is authority, because we have to have authority. We have authority through the Lord Jesus Christ that we might go to a place. And there's three places I want to mention. Because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can go to a place. The first place is a place in the family of God. I think the last two Sundays, Brother Keith quoted this scripture, because it's a very important scripture, because it tells us that as many as received him, to them gave he the power or the authority to become the sons of God. You have to have authority to come. You can't just become a child of God. I wish I'd known that the first meeting I preached, because I talked to a fella, and we could never get him to understand that he was, you know, he thought he was too bad to be saved. I've run into a few folks like that along the way, and he said, I've just done so many terrible things that I can't be saved. But the Word of God says, if you receive Jesus, you can be saved. As many as received him, to them gave he the power, the authority to become the sons of God. So we must have the authority of God even to become a child of God. So we have a place in the family of God today because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, not only do we have a place in the family of God, but we also have a place in the church. You see, by his blood, you became a part of the church. Now, we know that we were baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, but it's because of the blood that we can be a part of the church of the living God. All believers from Pentecost, of course, up until the rapture of the church, of course, find a place in his church. It's amazing that God takes poor, lost sinners, and he saves them by his grace, sets them upon the solid rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he places them in the family of God, first of all. And we sing about the family of God. Oh, what a privilege, isn't it? What a wonderful thing it is to be a part of the family of God. Imagine that. I mean, think about it again. We're part of a family, a physical family on this earth, but imagine being a part of the family of God. Did you ever think, when you were maybe a youngster, before you knew the truths of the Word of God, that you would ever be a part of the family of God? Never. I never thought about it when I was walking the streets of Hinton, getting into trouble like everybody else was getting into trouble. I never thought about ever being a part of the family of God. How could we ever merit being a part of the family of Almighty God? And saints, wow. When I was a youngster, well, I thought I had a picture of saints, but it wasn't a picture. It wasn't a picture that God gives in his word. A saint is every person who believes on Jesus Christ. They become a saint, and they become a part of the family of God. So we have a place in the family of God. And then not only do we have a place in the family of God, but he has placed us in his church, the church of the living God. In fact, he tells us, doesn't he, that in verse 22, but you are coming to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. We are part of this church family whose names are written in heaven. I've been placed there in the Lamb's book of life. So we have come to Mount Sinai. We have come to the church of the firstborn written in heaven, to God the judge of all, who is the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator, you see, of the new covenant. So now we have a place in the family of God. We now have a place in the church. And we come unto the church of the firstborn. Our names are written in heaven. And we come to the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. So the blood speaks of an entitlement to a place, or the authority to be in a place. And that is the family of God, a place in the church. And then finally, he says, to the city of the living God. Imagine that. You know, I'm sure when people go to Israel, and a lot of people go, and I'm sure they enjoy the time and they see the places where Jesus walked. But just think about it. Maybe a tour guide, maybe a really good tour guide, but just think about it. One day we can go, and Jesus will take us to these places to see. And of course, he has firsthand knowledge. You're talking about that's going back to where it all begins, isn't it? And so we can see these things because we are part. We have become a part of all of that. We've become a part of the church. We have a place in the new Jerusalem, to the city of the living God, to the new or heavenly Jerusalem. And that's exactly what Jesus was talking about. Jesus in John chapter 14, verse 33, verse 3 says, I go to prepare a place for you. Remember, and then he says, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He has prepared a place for you. Why? Because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ speaks of entitlement to a place. So we're coming to a place, to the new or heavenly Jerusalem. And then John gives us a look, gives us a glimpse, we might say, into that new Jerusalem, that heavenly city of God that he speaks about, that Jesus Christ has prepared for us in Revelation chapter 21. And in chapter 21, verses 1 and 2, John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the heavenly Jerusalem that he speaks about in Hebrews, and that Jesus spoke about he was going to prepare a place. And we know this is it, because he says, and I, John, saw the holy city, new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. And it says what? Prepared. Prepared by the hands of God. By the hand of God, not prepared by the hands of men, but prepared by God. Heaven prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Imagine that. A place in the family of God, a place in the church of God, and a place in the new Jerusalem. And one day we'll see it and behold its beauty. It's beyond anything that we can imagine it, because as we look and read about that city, it is tremendous. No need of any light there. Did you remember when we first started about, we talked about going up to Mount Sinai and all the darkness and all of that at that place? But now you and I are going to the place where there is eternal light. And there'll be no need of any other light there, because the Lamb of God and the Father, of course, shall be the light of that great city of God. And so we have a place in the New Jerusalem. But folks, there's the other side of the story. And the other side of the story is, what about those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? After seeing all that the blood does and what the blood speaks of, But there are those still who refuse to and reject the Lord Jesus Christ and the cleansing of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What about those folks? Well, Hebrews tells us about those folks as well. In Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse 28 and verse 29, he tells us in that passage, chapter 10 and verse 28 says, "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses." Now he says, he's talking about those, of course, that were there at Mount Sinai who were under the law of Moses. He says, those folks who despised that law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment? That's terrible, but how much sore punishment? "Suppose ye shall be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." Ah, what a terrible thing it is to refuse the cleansing of the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Since those who refused the old covenant did not escape, how could those of the new covenant who turn away expect to do so? Impossible. It is actually impossible. In that Hebrews 12, he says this, that we need to hear him who speaks from heaven. He says in verse 25, "See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him and spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain." The eternal things may remain, is what he's saying. "Wherefore we receive in the kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is consuming fire." So again, we see the holiness of God, and that we need, of course, to hear him, and that we may serve him acceptably with reverence and godly fear. My, the blood of Jesus Christ, so important. And we need to make sure that we refuse not the atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ and the precious blood of Christ, lest we perish forever in a place called the lake of fire, which is the second death. So we pray today that you have received Christ, and you have a place. You have a place in the family of God. You have a place in the church. You also have a place in the new Jerusalem. But if you don't, tonight would be a good night to make sure you do. So we're going to stand and sing just a verse or two of an invitational hymn as we stand, as we sing. Just a verse or two from the hymnal. And as we sing, as we stand and sing, and as the Holy Spirit would speak to your heart, if you need to come, you come tonight, whatever the need is, and bring it to the Lord.